And it will equip people to press on into God's intentions constantly. It tells him in the book of Second Timothy chapter 4, he says, verse 1 says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and encourage with every form of patient instruction. Tells him that every form of patient instruction. Then in verse 5, he says, but be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. All right. So if you mix all of that, you preach the word, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, encourage. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 5. I think that's it. The three questions. I can answer others on other days. It's not ready. I want to show you something quickly, something you should carry in your mind for these days we are here. Everyone should carry. In the book of Numbers, chapter 31. Numbers 31, I'm reading from the first verse. If you're writing, you can write all the way down to verse 24. And the Lord said to Moses, take vengeance on the Midianites for the Israelites. After that, you'll be gathered to your people. That means you will die. The Lord said to Moses, take vengeance. Who knows why God was taking vengeance? Who doesn't know? Okay, so what happened is that the Midianites had sent in their women. Remember that time Balaam was hired to curse the Israelites? His curse did not work. He tried multiple times, killing 7 oxen on 7 altars. None worked. Finally, he kept blessing them as the Holy Spirit, God told him to. And when he left there, Balak was angry with him. I told you to curse them, and he came and blessed them. He was so greedy. Remember how I ended yesterday? The love of money, the love of money, the love of money. The Bible says he made the prophet mad. Till today, he makes prophets mad. Number one reason, someone that has the word of the Lord coming to him and through him begins to go berserk in every wrong direction is money, not the love of money. It's the easiest way, the most effective servant of God. The only really effective servant of God is the one who has been freed from the love of money. If I see a servant of God, I don't care how big or popular you are, you like money, I know you're crooked. I know there will be many things wrong with you, and they have never proven me wrong. The ministry they oversee will always have significant spiritual and moral issues, because that's the nature of mammon. Now, what did Balaam do because of his love of money? He went to those people and still offered them a way for God to punish them. We've learned this in the book of Revelation chapter 2. Jesus tells us. We learn it in the book of Jude. We learn it in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. We learn it in the book of Numbers between chapter 23 and 4 and down and here. Because you see them kill him. He was killed. God made sure they killed him. He went and advised that king. He said, you cannot curse them directly. They are covered. The sound of a king is among them. What you will do is get them to kill themselves. And how do you do that? The rule has never changed. Get them to sin. Just get them to sin. Just plant sin and water it in their midst. Their God will kill them. It's a perfect strategy. It has not failed to work yet. So they did. They sent their women, Midianite women, who went and seduced them and invited them. They couldn't stop them. They invited them to their feasts, their occasions on the plains of Moab, just before the Jordan and the Promised Land. These guys were on the boundary of entering Promised Land. And they started. God killed 24,000 of them. God himself. He handled it. He told Moses to help him kill some. The heads. Say, bring them out. Hang them. So the untouchable people were touched. by none other but their God. And the people that facilitated it was Midian and Moab. Are you hearing this? So this is God later saying, Moses, you do one more thing for me before you check out. Remember, you're not entering, as I promised. You take out the Midianites for me. And what follows is what I would call the ideal format for warfare. God-directed warfare, executed according to instruction. Let me show you what happens. Something beautiful that happens when you are carrying out warfare according to the will of God. It's not in the portion I gave you to read. So, chapter, verse 48 and 49. 48 to 50. Let me just show you something useful, something sensible. This is after the battle. Then we go back. Then the officers who were over the units of the army, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, approached Moses and said, your servants have counted the soldiers under our command. Read, and not one of us is missing. Oh, you didn't understand. These guys fought a full battle and not one person died. Where did it happen? How is that possible? It happened. Each of them called back their soldiers. They counted present. Not one person was missing. They must have counted again. They were confused. They must have gotten confused. Who goes to one? There's no fatality. When you slaughtered all the other side, how? Moses did not expect it. Nobody expected it, but it happened. It's when they took a roll call. Everyone was present. And what was their response? This is the lesson to take from it. Look at me. First point is that you should know it's possible to go to one. There's no fatality. Are you hearing? Because it's written. Yes, a group of people, a church group, can go out and do God's will constantly and come back and nobody drops. Nobody goes back to the wall. The devil does not take down anyone. Doesn't take out anyone. It is possible. How? We just read it. So for those of you that say they must always be, why must they always be? They mustn't always be. They must not always be. When this church group began a leadership structure in 2017, January, the Lord picked 8 leaders, the core leaders, the first set, what we call the 8. All of them are standing in the Lord. All of them. None of them have fallen away. That's something. In the second batch, one fell. Two? What? One. Second group, the 12. One fell away. Out of 12. Do I need to? Maybe I should have made it 12. You should have made it 11 or 10. Or maybe that's our fault. But they have stood. They have survived. The enemy has not found victory over us. One was fulfilling prophecy. Verse 50. So we have brought to the Lord an offering of the gold articles each man acquired. So to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. To make atonement is like, God, on behalf of my life that you have given me, I'm giving you this, you know. So they taught you something that might be wise, that you should recognize the preservation of the Lord. It is wisdom to acknowledge God's preservation, that you are still a child of God. Your faith is still alive. You have not shipwrecked your faith. You have not sunk in the depths of worldliness and the ways of this world. It is wise to be appreciative. Always it's wise. All right. Go back to verse 1-2. The Lord sent him to go and take vengeance against the Midianites because God is a God of vengeance. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. You can go and read Romans chapter 12 and you'll see where he talks about vengeance. God has no qualms about avenging. For those of you that think, no, God will avenge. I showed you that already in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Where he said, it's God's will to afflict those who have afflicted you But it's a matter of timing. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
For those of you that are so engrossed, you're meant to forgive anyone that hurts you and everyone. Ask God to forgive them and show them mercy. That's it. When it's time to avenge, let God handle that. It's not your duty to go around shouting, God, avenge me, avenge me. Especially if you're thinking of a person. Rather, you can ask for vengeance against Satan. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so God is a God of vengeance. Have no doubt about it. Any other teaching is false. God doesn't mind avenging. If you look at Romans 12 verse 19, it says, do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Okay? Deuteronomy 32 verse 35. Right. Don't open. Right. Deuteronomy 32 verse 35 is what he was quoting. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. In due time, you see, he said, in due time, their foot will slip. For their day of disaster is near and their doom is coming quickly. One of the things I think is happening, because when I was praying today, I was seeing this. I think there's vengeance around the corner. I don't know who. I don't know what. I don't know. But I think there's vengeance around the corner because I've kept seeing this. I think vengeance is coming. Hey! It's a bad time to, it's not a good time to vex God. It's not a good time. Hebrews 10:30, vengeance for him. We know him who said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. The Lord will judge his people. Take note, it is people he will judge. All those that say, my God can never, who? By the way, if you know that Hebrews chapter, he was talking to his people, he was threatening them. Okay, I'll go to the verse before. That's Hebrews 10:30. When God threatens you, how much more severely do you think one deserves to be punished who has trampled on the Son of God, made common or profaned the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and insulted the Spirit of grace? He's talking to people who called on Jesus' name. I had a word 2 days ago, three, and I called someone and sent and told them that God needs them to repent. And they answered, I don't believe in judgment. I don't believe in. I'm saying it so it will be on video, audio record. That happened 2 days ago. I think. So in the future, where it happens, I'll tell you. I think that person is about to enter Yahweh. What a thing. Do not seek. So this is talking about people because the Lord had just finished speaking to me about what it means to trample on his blood. Is someone that has received Jesus, then you trample him. This is not, oh, you sin, you stumble. No, this is you spitting on. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't believe in you. You're nothing. Oh, you're really looking for trouble. He said you judge his people. Leviticus 19. No, don't write that. Leave it, leave. I've given you enough. If you want more, go to Jeremiah chapter 50. Look at the judgment of Babylon. It's very long. It's a lot. All right. So back to where we were. Where were we? Where? Numbers 31 verse. Write down verse 3. I'm giving you breakdown. So first of all, God avenges. Principles of warfare. The perfect war model. God takes vengeance, but he takes it in his own time. Do you understand this? Verse 3. So Moses told the people, arm some of your men for war, that they may go against the Midianites and execute the Lord's vengeance on them. God uses people sometimes to carry out that vengeance. Are you hearing me? Before those people can be used, they must be armed. That means they must be given arms. That's weapons of war. God has, because of time, I would have given you scriptures, would have opened up and shown you how the Bible has that. God says he's bringing weapons out of his armory. It's in Jeremiah chapter 50. God has an armory. He brings out weapons from there. Store. If you read the book of Job, he told you he has a store. He calls his armory a storehouse too. Hailstones are part of God's armory. When he opens it, he hammers cities. He hammers people. Sometimes when you see hailstones, not the light ones, the ones that destroy and kill people, is God. He's angry. It's a real thing. You should know it. In the days to come on this earth, you see, sometimes God will say, point your hands, pray about a place. You pray and there'll be hailstones there. And there'll be judgments all over. That's a real thing. One of those days, I think the last time I mentioned hailstones here, I said it and he held it. It was a hell. Hell fell in Joss. Yes, remember? That's same day. But I don't think it was destructive. There's those tiny things. There's these big ones like this. But that's when God... So God has armory. Now God arms people. He gives you weapons. He equips you to carry out his vengeance when it is time for vengeance. And the primary thing he does is the sword. Jeremiah 50. The sword. What's the sword? The sword is the word of God. The word of God in your lips. The word of God written down and redeclared according to the leading of the Spirit. That's what makes it a sword. How do I know? Written down is not necessarily living, but the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So it comes and it pierces, it divides, it separates. All right. So he said, take some of your people, equip them. When you're being equipped with the word of God and the truth, it is not for the sake of lying down in your bed. It's for the sake of carrying out God's vengeance. Are you hearing me? Good. Now, the Bible says, send into battle 1,000 men from each tribe. Next principle. So you must be armed. And then the next principle is that it's not everybody that goes to every battle. Soldiers are not always comprised of every existing soldier. Representational warfare is allowed. Okay? You saw when we were praying for Nigeria, the NNPG group, 12 to 17 people were selected by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for Nigeria for a total of 90 days at different periods, representing the church. And that it was received. That's warfare. So they went to war on behalf of the church. And so he said, send. So it's not every battle that you need everybody. All right? Keep going. 12,000 men armed for war. 12,000. 12 the number of apostleship. 12 the number of patriarchate. 12 the number of leadership. You know, so 12,000. One for 1,000. 1,000 for one. And they're represented. So this is the power of leadership. It's why God picks leaders. God picks leaders. One reason why you must pray for your leadership in this church. Make sure you do, wherever you are, make sure you uphold the leadership of the congregation where you are. Because they often will represent you. Those who spend their time fighting the leadership God has given them are most unwise. You ought to be holding up the hands of those that lead you. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. They watch out for your soul. This is how they watch out for your soul. They go and meet the enemy on your behalf. If not, the enemy will meet you. So those who represent are to be honored for their labor. You are told that you should give honor to those who teach you, who labor in the word, especially those who labor in the word and teaching. Why did he say so? Because the word is a sword. Those who go to battle on your behalf, as I'm preaching, when a preacher, a teacher is bringing forth the word, that's the sword at work. It's cutting you free. It's attacking ways of thinking out of place. It's warfare happening. It's why don't all of us stand up and start talking at each other at once? God always picks leaders. He always has leadership because they fight battles in representational capacities. This is clear. Principles of warfare. He sent them along with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest. So a priest goes along with them. What's a priest's duty? The book of Malachi tells you it's to teach the law, understanding. When you have questions, you need discernment. You go to the priest. The priest, one who understands the things of the spirit, one that has been set apart to understand, should accompany those who go to war. If you go to war without knowledge and depth of insight, your chances of being defeated are high. Again, what happened to many people, even in this house, that transforms their lives, even though many said they were born again before they came here. What's the major thing that led to the transformation? You have a teaching priest. You have understanding. As understanding came, strength came, because a wise man is strong. A man of understanding increases strength. So strength comes from understanding. Knowledge makes a man's face to shine. Strength comes from understanding. So they took a priest along. They didn't relax and say, don't worry, we can do it. We don't need anybody. Mm-mm. They listened to what the priest would say. The priest is set apart. Holy unto the Lord was written on the high priest's headband, bonnet. Because his job, he's set apart for a purpose. That act of being separated from, you know, I've spoken in the past why many servants of God, even preachers, struggle a lot. Even with the work God has given them, and they can't have a healthy spiritual congregation because many are too busy. They are busy engrossed in so many things. Going to work till 5, then going to rush and be a part-time pastor of What do you expect? By the concept of priesthood is separation. Priests and Levites are separated people. They are not mixed in with everybody. When you're mixed in with everybody, when and where on earth will you hear from heaven? When will the heavens open over you and rain comes that you can impart? It's not there. So one of the most important things God needs are people who are dedicated much more time, much more attention to hearing the Lord. Then when you go with such people to battle, your chances of victory are way higher. A priest or a prophet. They came, is there no prophet here? They said there's one. There's Elisha, son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Call him now, and he comes there. Within how long? You have an instrumentalist. Bang, 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 bang. Dig ditches. Simple. The battle is won. The beauty of having someone that is set apart. Many do not understand. You take it for granted. You're just like, well, I knew what it. When you had no clue, or if you had no clue, you are defeated. The same battle. When they spoke to Jehoshaphat, they put singers in front of them and priests. When Joshua went forth to war, they put priests in front as they marched around Jericho playing instruments. Bing, 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 bing. They just walked around a city and the walls fell. Walls that were as wide as this room. Just walking around. Wider, it was 22 feet and 15. 9 and 15, 22 feet total. That's not even correct. One was about 15, one was 9 feet. Why? They found it. It's in the ground somewhere. So it's not, I'm not guessing. Immense wall. They walked around. Then priests walked and blew trumpets. Then everyone shouted. The walls came down. That's what when you have the leadership, spiritually adept leadership, battles become easy and victory becomes much more assured. Is this clear? But he didn't just go by himself. The priest is the one who carried around other vessels of the holy place, the sanctuary. So you carry along other holy things, holy people, holy properties, things that are from the holy place. What's in the holy place? You have the golden lampstand, the light, what I already said. You have the incense altar. You have the table of showbread, the bread of the Lord's table. When you carry along obedience to these things, looking for light in the word of God, offering acceptable incense, when you carry these things to battle, it's not physical, I've explained. The light of truth. You carry to battle, victory is assured. And he also took trumpets. Trumpets are for sounding, for signaling. It's time. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Prophetic counsel and direction. These are the things they took to war. I think I've made the point I was trying to make. And when they got there, you can read, they waged war against Midian as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed every male. Males are the ones that have the ability to reproduce. The ones that have the ability to seed. They provide seed and there's replication. They are seed banks. So you must take out anything that has the ability to replicate when you go to war. What's a woman? The ability to receive and carry seed, incubate and bring to fruition. It's neutral. It's whoever gives her seed that she carries. But the men are dangerous in that they will pass down their name and their tendencies into that womb, any womb. So they had to remove all the men. What is a boy? Go and read it. They killed all the boys too, because boys are just potential men. Okay, so same thing. What does this mean in our life? When you go to war, take note of those that have the ability to continue seeding. It's not physical warfare, it's spiritual. Anything in warfare, anything you come across that has the ability to increase and replicate that which you don't want to continue. Example, the Midianites. You must take them out. Is this clear? You must take them out. You must wipe them out. Don't be nice. Don't leave it behind. That which has the ability to come. It's why their names, when you're in a proper church like ours, we will tell you, who was this person to you? Delete the number. Block it. Block first, then delete. People will say, what's that? Why would you do that? Is that not too extreme? You're joking with a male. No, we've never had anything. You have the capacity to have. He's a boy. He will plant seed soon. And next thing, you start talking all sorts of funny things. No, well, me, I think. You make the same sounds we have heard so many times. I'm always amused when people stop and think they are the first to sing a song. Meanwhile, this is an old song. We've heard it for years and it ends in one way. We've seen where that song goes to. It ends in one way. They always, then they appear, I didn't even know what was wrong with me. What is wrong with you? You're very stupid. Don't sing your song here. We told you before you recorded the song. Don't do that thing. Don't do that. Some people can't laugh because of what has happened to them. No. Yeah, here. You know, we say they talk for person, but then they're here downstairs. Maybe there are more there. All over. It's the job of those God gives to lead you, to give you direction. Don't despise them. They might yet save your life because they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Do you see reason to appreciate leadership?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you have leadership that hears God, appreciate it. I have more to say, but I have to stop because I don't need people under too much pressure. I think there are people that are going off. They are going out to the accommodation we have outside. That will still happen, so that should happen. We are having 6 days of apostolic education. Three are gone. Believe it or not. And we haven't met James. We haven't met John. We haven't met Peter. They have very important things to tell us. Super important. Super important. I'm thinking let everybody come. Family meeting, we'll find a place and squeeze it somewhere. Maybe on Sunday. Maybe on Sunday, okay? Let's do family meeting on Sunday. Let everybody come. If you're online, tune in. There'll be something else. If you're here, you want to come, come. 10 o'clock. Don't come late. The Lord will be with us. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we are thankful. I want you to stand to your feet quickly and make a prayer immediately, talking to the Lord about your leadership. You're thanking the Lord for the leadership you've had. Be grateful. Come on, I give you 30 seconds to be grateful. You're part of this church group. You have no clue of how much you have. What am I saying? You have. What's the quality of your spiritual life before you came here? Tell God thank you. I appreciate him for the leaders. Thank him for the leaders. Thank him for the leaders. Thank him for the leaders. Oh, we bless your name. We rejoice. We are grateful. 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 We are grateful for the opportunity to serve and be served the way we have been. Be exalted and glorified in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We praise. Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to ask the Lord that he will put his hand upon your leaders and speak to them about his plans. I gave you some principles of perfect warfare. The type that you can go back and there's no fatality. You go and nobody is lost on the way. If you have poor signaling, they give you misdirection. If you're not, your leaders are not hearing prophetically and telling you turn left, turn right. Everybody stop, come, go. I told you yesterday how we were here. I was here yesterday and God told us he had 2 weeks. And that was before the lockdown. If we didn't spend those 12 days plus the previous 14 days in the presence of God, soaking, do you know what would have happened to many people by the time they went home for nearly 1 year? I can assure you many people backslid during COVID and some knew God. But we were here in spite of the university being about to write an examination. We're meeting daily. That's an example of what the trumpets for signaling is for. Move now. Stop now. Go forward now. Come back now. That's what the trumpets for signaling are for. If you don't have proper trumpeters, if you don't have people who hear and sound the alarm in Zion on time, you lose many a thing. You lose battles because you will move and walk into an ambush. I want you to ask the Lord, please. I am asking that you continue to give us leaders who can carry holy articles into battle, who have light in their hands, who have Gideon carried representations, a pitcher he carried. He carried a lamp under 300 men, and they carried a trumpet and a sword. They shattered the pitchers. They blew the trumpet, and an innumerable number of Midianites, by the way, like locusts, were put to rout because they obeyed the instructions of God. When you have leadership that hears and obeys, what you have is called victory. When you have leadership that does not hear or understand what to obey, what you have is called defeat. If you've ever been defeated in your walk with God, in your desire to know God, a lot of it had to do with the leadership you have. If you have victories and it's because you're obeying your leadership, it's because that leader is complying knowingly and very likely unknowingly with the instructions of Scripture on how to fight a good warfare. I want you to pray for the leaders in this house right now. Pray with passion and intensity. God, give them grace to continue. The devil guns for them too. Protect them, deliver them, instruct them, speak to them, instruct them. May I not be a distraction to them. May I not be a stumbling block to them. Help me help them. Lord God, empower them in that which is good. Enable them. Give them authority. Give them boldness increasingly. Give them capacity. Give them a love for your people. Give them clarity, O Lord our God. Ask the Lord to speak to them. Ask the Lord to speak to them. As they retreat in this time, ask the Lord to speak to them. To give counsel and instruction. Oh, pray like you mean it. Ask for heavens to be open over the leaders as they meet. They've come in from everywhere. Ask God to come. Speak to us. Reveal his plans, Jesus. Reveal the direction for this house. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Sorry, I'm going to make you pray that prayer again. You know, the last person, I think, has touched down. So, probably on their way right now. All the leaders, the 19 leaders from around the country, wherever they were, have come in. Last night, night for Lagos, Abuja, Jos, wherever they were, Elisha, they are here. They didn't come for fun. This meeting started on Wednesday. This is the one that was not planned. The leaders meeting, God instructed 1 month ago. 1 month ago is when the notice went out, on the 22nd or 23rd of November. That the Lord spoke clearly, let the leaders gather, let the leaders gather, let the leader. Your meeting is the one that was, had no plan. This one was planned. So this is my adjacent meeting. This is not the main thing I'm doing now. Understand it. Understand it. Now I'm asking you, when I tell you therefore, pray for them. Why did God tell us to gather? If you heard me yesterday, maybe you might not believe it. I don't know why I called them. I have no clue. The same way God tells me what to say per time, that's how he does it in the leaders' meeting. And if you wonder, is that how to lead? Shouldn't you have a plan? Is it my house? The owner of the house has the plan. He might start dropping things. Maybe today start giving me small hints. Other than that, I'm perfectly fine. I know before they come and go back, all of them to the different places they are, he will bring clarity. But many times, you've seen it happen many times. The last time we had a leaders retreat was last year, before that, that was December, no? Before that one, 2020. 2020, August. For 10 days, the leaders were there. We will be here. It was fascinating. Whatever happens while we were meeting in Domita Farms, far away, people here will be sending it in. It's not, you know, again, you can only act so much. People are sending in what we discuss. We'll discuss topics. We've seen it happen so many times. I'm not saying you should try to get something to send. But if you do get sent, I'm telling you how God, when we talk about being led by the Spirit, oh, we know it. We've seen it in this world. How can you have 10 days of meetings and every day people are pop-nosing into your matter? In a, how many kilometers away? It's not possible except there is one God, one Spirit. One God. So we'll discuss it, expansion, the Bible. Someone will send, I saw specifics. I expect the same thing to happen, but I expect it to be kind of more. Okay? So when, let me put it this way. I said you pray again. You don't have to pray now. You pray later. Make sure all of you are praying for the leaders as they meet. Why? Because remember, I've been talking about foundations. The foundations of this ministry must be solid. All the things we do. We are not the first. Some years ago, we were in a retreat and the devil told us, he said, how do you say it? Others have been here before you. Someone saw this massive thing with fire coming and he was laughing at us like a tower. Ha, ha, ha. Others have been here before you. I'm going to take you out. We are still here. But I'm not saying it boastfully because I'm not one of those people that are confused about our enemy. Many of the people that say Satan is a bastard, he took them out since. They are saying it from inside his mouth. That is, someone is inside the belly of something saying the thing that swallowed them is a bastard. Very funny people. That's how blind they are. They don't even know that the enemy has taken them captive. Spreading false doctrine, misleading millions, and you're boasting. Misleading millions. You have a church full of immoral people. You go for a conference. When they leave, the condoms are all over the ground. You're calling Satan, but is your head good? You didn't hear that thing I just said. They finish a conference, youth conference, as they leave. Condoms are all over under the stadium seats. What's that? That's victory. That is defeat that is so total. I don't know what to say. Our people went to join some of our people to cook. There was a conference, some big church group, national group. And some of our people went there. They were at one of the booths where they were cooking. They joined a caterer to cook. And right there, I mean, they're seeing gay men. These are people that came from national for a conference and they couldn't wait. They're behind corners committing morality. In this view, I don't mean us. Meanwhile, if you ask, how was the conference? They say, awesome. Meanwhile, it was an altar of abomination. That's a function of leadership. I know it because we're in this house and someone committing morality. If you see the alarm that goes out, we don't need to catch you. The Holy Spirit always catches. By the time you come, if you're in part of our church group, you commit immorality and nobody picks it. Oh, that means you've been rejected. That means God is not even bothering about you. And that's also how I know people that are not our church members. If you can live in steady sin, immorality, you're committing fornication and nobody knows. It's not even possible. Throughout all these years, it has not been possible. Because you will be prophesied. People will not sleep at night. They will see. There will be trouble till we fish you out. So one of two things. Either you're not part of us. Because if you're successful, it means you're not part of us. Two, that God has rejected you. We have people that God has nearly rejected or that have rejected us. We still see them. We still know when they go. Sometimes that's how we know God said, still give them a chance. Because God will be telling us things about them. I'm explaining how leadership works. You joke with leadership, you get hurt. You get really hurt. They watch out for your soul as those who must give account. So make sure you're praying for us because if we don't have direction from God, if we get confused, if for example I start liking money, I've told you, all it takes is for someone to invite me. 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, I'm gone. When you go and preach in one place and they give you honorarium, 1 million, 2 million, how many of you know you might be inclined to preach outside more? And when you remember, when you live here, you ask for cold water, sometimes they give you warm. You might be inclined though. I told you how I went to meet a preacher and how they were acting. I was talking about how I mentioned Pastor Nathan Bassi. Was it the first day? Was he not here?
Yes.
Where is it? And you see how the people came to pick him. My God. is like, good afternoon, sir. Welcome, sir. Very sharp dresser. Please, sir, the vehicle is here. Yes, sir, we'll be waiting outside. It's like you're watching a movie. And I wondered, I admired him. Because I wonder, how does your head sit well? The temptation to pride is not of this world. I've seen it. I've seen preachers do it, but God forbid. You knock. That's why I tell you, don't criticize anyone. You haven't been tempted with what they've been tempted with. You don't even know temptation yet. Someone has stood in front of you, a ministry in America, poor wretched ministry, in Mozambique, not America. A church in America said, stop associating with Toronto Airport Fellowship. We want to support your ministry with $1 million. This is 30 something years ago. Do you understand what $1 million is to a ministry in wretched Mozambique, especially after the war? $1 million. That was the condition. Stop associating with that other group that seemed crazy in their manifestation of the spirit. But the woman is like, that's the place I went to and got healed of pneumonia, of so many diseases. I went there one day, the power of God hit me, healed me, transformed me. I had been sick I came out of the hospital illegally to go for that conference. I should stop associating with them. How? So they refused to give her the $1 million. Irish Ministries. They refused to give them. That's temptation. Are you understanding? You know, you could have said, it's okay, what do I really have to do with them? And then still go back, yes? $1 million, when you are poor, so carrying orphans in rubbish dumps. The last I heard, they had how many orphanages? So many, they make sense. So many. But that's 12 years ago. My point, you can't criticize what you don't know. Leaders fell. There are leaders who were never okay. Then there are many who were sincere. Then they took off to battle. And all the people around them did was, I worship. Instead of praying for them, all you sit down and do is and tell them, pray for me. And they pray for you till they are standing and sleeping and praying for you. And you get careless. I know I'm prayed for. I know it very well. It's not possible for me to be how I am without knowing that people pray for me. I know people pray for me, but some don't pray even near to enough. They take it for granted. They're like, pastor, it's okay. If Paul says, pray for me, Jesus took 3 people to pray for him, then left the prayer to come and say, wake up now. How can you sleep now? Pray now. Then he went and came back. What prayer does is you're talking to God to give grace, to give strength, to give ability. So you have to pray for me. Then you have to pray for all the other leaders that comprise this house. If you're in any place and you have a leader over you, Port Harcourt, Abuja, Lagos, wherever you are, Calabar, make sure you pray. Don't sit there and look at people and criticize. You do not understand the pressure of leadership or spiritual leadership. I've experienced it a bit, and there's nothing funny about it. Sometimes all you wish for is to run away or cry or just say, excuse me, wait. Why? Why do I have to go through this? But real leadership, to be able to stand in America, you keep hearing them say the greatest source of social and soul for pastors is burnout. Is burnout. You burn out. Are you a filament bulb? Yes, many act like that. If they had people praying and refueling them, if they had more, but those are people, usually they don't have the spirit as they should. Their model is wrong. I'm simply asking all of you, not just for this time, but especially now. We are at a crossroad. That's why the Lord called the leaders. We are at a crossroad. I don't know what the crossroad is. Don't think we have a problem. We don't. Not to my knowing. But the Lord knows. So ask the Lord to keep the heavens open over us and the fountains of the deep. And that His truth, He will come and rain on us righteousness. It is what is going to equip you. It is what we come and tell you, the models we use that you've seen us using, that's what has helped you come to where you are. That God has kept our leadership pure, undefiled. It's a miracle. If God doesn't give grace continually, if you ever get cocky and think that it's by your own strength you've done anything, God can say, let me allow you know something. If we get proud, we can fall just from pride. From saying, we are doing better than others. Just that alone is enough for the devil to ask for permission to make us fall on our face before we stand up again. I don't want to fall at all. I don't want any of that. So make sure when you pray for us, always remember. And if the Lord speaks to you clearly about anything, pray again. Don't just casually send words, but make sure you're consistent. Okay, we are starting a meeting with the leaders this night. After this meeting, starting meeting and all of that. This meeting I mentioned for the day is a special meeting. Other than that, you won't see us. We are going to be away seeking the face of the Lord as He commanded us. And I hope that the grace of God on this whole house will reach us all in the name of Jesus. Now, I've said you should carry that. I've given you an exhortation that you can keep praying. Make sure you keep praying. Now, final prayer point for us this night is that God will do things that only He can do and help us be preserved, every single one. That God will preserve us as He gives us directives. He will preserve us. That I've heard over and over again people say, I was afraid of falling. Those people, I don't know who is your teacher. You're acting like you're the one that kept yourself originally or that saved yourself. That thing, every time I hear someone say, I was afraid of falling, I was telling someone the other day, I didn't used to think about this thing. As I grew up, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 22 years, I didn't used to sit there and think, what if I fall? The Bible is very clear when it says, to Him who is able to keep you from falling. So it means you are the one carrying yourself. No wonder you have issues in your Christian life. I didn't used to think it. It's from you people I heard that there's something like someone being, what if I fall this or that? Let me answer you. Your fear is rooted in, there's an idol you have and you're afraid it might trip you up. Let me just tell you the truth. I don't just know it in my head. I know it from experience. Not my experience, your own. You have an idol and you're afraid your idol will make you fall. So that fear you claim to have is not a fear that God can't keep you. You're afraid that this idol you're carrying along while pretending to call on the name of the Lord will trip you up. And can I help you at once? Yes, it will. You will fall. Oh, you will fall. Carry an idol on your way to the promised land. You will fall in the wilderness. You will fall. I did not have idols, and that's why I stood. That's why I kept growing. That's why I did not fall. If you go and build a golden calf on the way, you will fall. The reason you fall is the idol. Idols make people fall. Do not have an idol. Do not have a golden calf. That is not why I like sleep too much. That's not an idol. I'm going to bring some clarity in the days to come. I'll bring it when I think we're looking at James. I'm going to show you the difference between a weight and an idol. The distinction, because some of you call everything an idol. It's extreme. It's not everything that is an idol. An idol is a bit more serious than a weight. Is this clear? Pray right now and say, Lord God, I am appealing to you. I want to make it to the end. Rid me of anything that might make me fall, that might make me fail in the battle, that might make me not get to the end. Please, Lord God, rid me, rid me, rid me. Any idols? Idols are the risk. Not your faithfulness. I know you are able to keep me from falling. Break me from idols. Ele kende bele shatu sapa. Randa la kandi badu shipre tele kendo badu si. Aripanda da gadi ala kushimbro butu sumbre betele ganda. You are able to keep us. Ask for your brother, ask for your sister that they will remain with us. At the end of this battle, all will be accounted for. Even those that have seemed to go lost, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back, Lord God. The end is not yet. Bring them back, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Lift your hands, everyone. Say with me, Lord, you said vengeance is yours. That which you seek to avenge at this time. Go ahead. Do as you desire.
desire.
Pour out your fire.
Wherever it is required.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. Father, that which time has come, that which it is the due season for, accomplish.
Amen.
If there are any who have afflicted us, whom you seek to afflict at this time, receive freedom too.
Amen.
We step out of the way.
Amen.
We step out of the way.
Amen.
We step out of the way.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bless your children as they go.
Amen.
Bring us back tomorrow.
Amen.
Prepare our hearts. Fill our minds.
Amen.
Anoint us with fresh oil.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Every offering for your sake and your kingdom and for the work and for the care of the people that have come, I ask that you accept and replenish.
Amen.
Provide every need we have.
Amen.
For everything we are doing here.
Amen.
Every need, every need, every need. Electricity, accommodation, food, transportation, everything we need. We receive the resources we need.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.